is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hi, it's a pleasure now to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker radio show, Mr. Mike Dyson. Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Afternoon, Paul, and thank you for the invite to come on. Really looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll tell you what, Mike, why don't we kick off? You're a bit of a serial entrepreneur. You've got quite a few things going on. So we've got quite a bit to talk about, which is lovely. But why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Okay. Yeah, I have a few fingers and a few pies. But my reason for wanting to chat to you is that as recent as the 17th of July, I acquired a new business. So I bought a business that was formerly called Ladies of Leisure, which is a ladies-only gym.
Yep. Sorry to interrupt, but that's been around quite a long time in Canterbury, hasn't it?
It has. Yep. It's been in Canterbury for the best part of 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an amazing opportunity that kind of came my way.
Yep.
Out of nowhere. It's situated just 300 yards from Canterbury West Station.
Yep.
On one of the main roads into Canterbury, St Dunstan Street. Right. But yeah, it was a brilliant opportunity. So I acquired it on the 17th of July. We've changed the name to align with my other business interests. So it's now Dynamic Fitness.
Right.
And we're really looking to kick on and looking to grow a community.
Yeah.
Not just be, but we want it to be a community where the ladies of Canterbury, all the surrounding areas, want to come and grow fitness.
Interesting. When you bought the business, were you particularly looking to acquire a gym? Were you looking to acquire a female-only business, or was it just an opportunity that presented itself?
I must admit, I certainly wasn't looking to buy a female-only business, that's for sure.
Right.
I have been looking for a gym for a little while, just never found the right opportunity. And then this came along, and it just seemed the right opportunity.
Right.
Before in place, I went to see it. I spoke to the staff, and I could see that, you know, it had obviously been successful, been there for 15, 16 years.
Yep.
But I felt that I could do more, and the staff I got there are fantastic. We can do more.
Right.
And
we're really kicking on. Yeah. Really so, you said you bought it when?
It was the 17th of July that the deal finally
This year,
yeah.
So presumably it was closed at the time you bought it.
It was, yeah. my good lady did kind of beat me around the head and asked me why I was buying the gym during COVID.
Yeah.
But as I said to her, when is it ever a good time
to buy? Well, that's very true. Funnily enough, where I live opposite a small country hotel. And the week before lockdown, the guy that owned it sold the hotel. I mean, talk about brilliant. He retired. Brilliant timing. The poor chap that bought it, I was chatting to him the other day. He's now owned it like 4 months and nothing's happened so far. And he's, you know, but you're right. You know, sometimes these things are an opportunity, aren't they?
I say I've got a great team around me. They're all really enthused. I mean, they came, you know, they've been effectively sitting there twiddling their thumbs since the end of March, bless them. So came in and it's like, right, okay. And they're really so enthusiastic about going forward, and they want to, you know, get going again. And, you know, in the 3 weeks that we've officially been open, we've done such a lot. We took a decision to refurbish the place.
Right.
So we did. We repainted the cardio area completely. And then through networking, I have a very, very fantastic contact. She's an artist.
Right.
And I got asked her to come in and create some bespoke murals for the dance studio area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She did that. And the response has been fantastic.
Right.
All the members have loved the look of it.
Yep.
was before, it was obviously looking a little bit tired after 16 years.
Sure, of course.
But now, with Kelly doing what she did, it's just giving you that modern feel and that umph. So it's quite inspiring. All the mentors said, they find it really inspiring and motivational when they're in there.
Right.
In the cardio, it's a lovely, refreshing place to be.
Right. So tell us what facilities you've got there and the kind of things that you do.
Well, I mean, the gym itself is a decent space for an independent gym. We've got just under 4,500 square foot of space.
Okay.
In there, you know, we've got an extensive range of cardio machines. So we've got your bikes, we've got the steppers, we've got the cross trainers, we've got rowing machines. I think in total we've got about 38 items of cardio kit.
Wow, okay.
So quite a bit. We've then got a room that's got toning tables in there, which is quite unusual in itself. You don't really find those around, but we've got 7 toning tables. We've got about 9 weight machines that deal with all areas, you know, all muscle groups, cater for everybody.
Right.
We then have, what else have we got? We've got a lot. We've got a separate free weights room as well.
Okay.
And then we've got a very large dance studio where we've got, where we keep all the spin bikes. So we've got about 12 spin bikes. We've got a huge range of sandbags and kettlebells all in there. We've got the boxer size area within there as well. So if they let some frustrations out on the boxing bag, they can.
All right, okay.
We have an infrared room, infrared sauna. We have a sauna as well, so we've got the best of both.
Okay.
We've then got the extensive changing room areas as well. So it's pretty well kitted out. We run a huge range of classes, which will range from, I wrote all these down because there's such a lot of them, but you know, you've got, so we've got step class, we have dance, we have boxercise.
Okay.
Pilates. We have Fadama, who specializes in supple strength, which is quite one of the very well attended classes because that appeals to all age groups as well. We've got Zumba.
Oh, don't mention Zumba. No, I'm still recovering. I'll tell you this, but you mustn't tell anyone else, okay?
Okay. Go for it.
About 5 years ago, I was blagged into doing a charity 4-hour Zumba marathon with Tracy Crouch, who was the Minister for Sport at that time.
Yeah.
And Tracy and I did 4 hours of Zumba. Now, I'm not the fittest of people anyway. And not only that, they made me do it, Mike, in a pink tutu.
I bet you looked a picture, Paul.
Unfortunately, there are too many pictures of that floating around the internet.
In that case, we must get a petition to get these photos out and about.
Yeah, absolutely. So you do Zumba classes. Unfortunately, I won't be coming, but then I'm not a lady anyway. So without the tutu.
Yeah, we are looking to revamp them as well. So we're currently sitting down with the girls and we're creating a brand new set of classes with specific aim at lunchtime, but to really make them short and quite dynamic, the plan work, to hopefully attract a different crowd as well for that lunchtime session as well. So, we're actively trying to think of things. We can all run a business, and I said to the ladies, we can do what we want. We can put in various machines, we can run classes, but we have to be member focused. So we've been asking questions.
So, Are you an entirely membership-based organisation? So you can't just rock up and do a class?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
Especially not the kids anyway. But it has always been a membership.
Yep, sure.
And for the foreseeable future, that's the way we'd like to. Because we want to build the membership and we want to build that genuinely into a community.
Yeah.
More than just turn up, do your thing, and go. We're doing different things as well. Like we're partnering with a very well-known health and wellness company, with their products.
Yeah.
So we're going to be running, it's 28th of the month. We're going to be running an evening session for an introduction to their products.
Right.
You know, it's not a hard sell or anything like that, but this is it's an added benefit to them.
Yep.
And we're also involving the local community. We've got one of the Sundays in September, and the dance studio area is being rented. It's actually not being rented. It's being handed over to a local first aid training company.
Right.
And they're going to be running first aid training course.
As well. Wow. Okay.
For the local community, so we're trying to involve ourselves.
Yeah, it's one of the beauties of a membership-based thing, isn't it? That you can build that community. You can add things that the members want. You can do stuff. Yeah, and I like that. Okay, so with regard to this pandemic,
yes.
Where are we now, Mike? Do you have openings yet, or do you have a time scale to open?
Well, I mean, the gym, actually, it was a very short time scale. Quite it on the 17th.
Right.
Then the government kind of said, right, you can open the gym on the 25th. Right. So in between, just before buying it, I'd obviously been into the gym and been around and seen it, and I'd actually done a full health and safety and COVID-19 assessment.
Yep.
So on the 17th, I had a very short space of time to make sure that was all up and running, which we did.
Right.
With a great effort. And as of the 25th of July, we actually opened the doors.
Okay.
So, you know, it's very, very safe. You know, we're following the government guidelines. So what we've actually done, and I've actually found this out, we are one of the few gyms who are doing this at the moment. We are actually operating a booking system.
Right,
We're not basing it on numbers allowed in the gym.
Yep.
I don't want to, you know, the square footage thing. We're actually following a booking system for both classes and for coming in and training.
Right.
Which has been very, very well received by the members. They actually have appreciated it. They feel safe. Yeah. The comments have been that we feel safe. We feel that the gym has put everything in place it needs to. You know, we've got all the various supplies we need. The counter's got the Perspex screens on. We're supplying everybody with their own cloth to take around with them to wipe down the machines, etc.
Right.
And we had it deep cleaned before we opened as well. So it has been a trickle initially, but the classes are getting fuller and fuller every time.
Right.
We do have a maximum number that we'll only allow in for a class, but those are getting...
Yeah, I guess people have got to get comfortable about coming back out and doing that kind of stuff.
And understandably, some are like, well, not for us at the moment.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, we look at every membership on its own merits, and we're working with the members, and if we can help in any way, so that because we operate the booking system, if we have a member who's maybe a bit worried about lots of people being around, we're advising that, well, actually the quieter time is, why don't you book in for that time?
Okay.
It could be that Thursday at 6 o'clock is really quiet, so there's going to be one or two people in the gym. Why don't you book in for that slot?
Yeah.
And I think they're appreciating everything that the ladies and myself are trying to do to make it the safest place that we can for them, you know. But it also has to be safe for the staff as well.
So that's good. You're kind of managing the environment and helping people feel comfortable as they do it,
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a difficult one. You try your best because it's this new, isn't it? But we're working through it, and the feedback we're getting is telling us that we're doing far more right than we are possibly wrong, which is great to hear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you say, Mike, I mean, it's unprecedented times, isn't it? Not only is this new for you having a gym, but it's new for everybody having a pandemic. We are in unprecedented times anyway, and all of us have to seek to manage our way out of this as best we can. It's probably early days yet as far as the gym's concerned, but do you have a strategic plan? Are you thinking about acquiring more gyms, opening more gyms?
Yes, is the simple answer. When I had a chat with this to my accountant, bless my accountant, his first words were, oh, we can franchise. Well, thanks. Calm, chill out a little bit. I would love to open up more. And I actually really like the niche of ladies only. And what I did, I asked the members why they joined. Why wasn't you joining the ladies only? You know, was it because it was nearer? And it's been because it's a safe environment. They feel they don't feel judged when they walk in, as they might do in a more typical mixed gym.
Yeah.
Being a bloke, you probably understand what I mean by that comment.
Sure.
So they feel safe. They're judgmental. They can just crack on and enjoy the benefits of getting healthier without being worried about prying eyes or people judging. So I love the niche, and I think there's a genuine place for it. Mm-hmm. So my trouble is, I said to myself, okay, let's give myself a year to have to find the right location.
Yep.
I think I've already found that other location.
Yeah, sure.
It's just that I don't think my flexible framing in my wallet is quite ready for it yet.
Right.
But you know, we can look at it. And we can put plans in place. So what I'm really looking for is to build, and I'm looking for about 5 or 6 within 3 years.
Okay.
That's the genuine plan.
I've said this. I have a few businesses myself, and I've said this to a few people, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. Uh-huh. Part of the problem that we've had with the lockdown and everything is so many businesses have been cash flow negative, and they've got viable businesses, but they're struggling.
Yeah.
Do you see that as an opportunity somewhere to pick up an organization that has a viable business but just can't sustain it?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, when things, you know, when there are businesses that are maybe struggling due to those reasons, I suppose there is always an opportunity to look at, is this an opportunity that we can work with it and grow?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know.
Yeah.
Myself and my accountant are actively on the lookout for opportunities. Mm. Although I said a year, if they come along and we can make it happen, why not?
Yeah.
You can rest on your laurels and go, no, I must have a year. But if it's there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I say that's because I do a bit of mentoring and coaching anyway.
Yeah. If you don't mind, let's just talk about a couple of the other things that you're into, because you have done some other things. Why don't you tell us some of the other things you do? As you just mentioned that you do a bit of business mentoring.
Yeah, I do. That's something that I really enjoy. That comes off the back of coaching rugby for the past 12 years.
Right.
I've coached locally down at Whitstable for the past 12 years. Really enjoyed it. Had a year off last year. Got bored. The missus kicked me out on Sunday because she could see I was bored. So right, go back. And I really enjoy helping the boys. But in my commercial career, because I've been in the commercial finance sector for 20 years,
right,
working for different companies. And then about 3 years ago, I stepped away and set up my own company, which is Dynamic Business Resources, hence keeping everything under the Dynamic brand.
Right.
And kind of discovered a passion for helping other business owners. And because of what I did, I just used to get asked questions. Well, how can we do this? And what can we do with this? And what do you think about this one? How can we work with this cash flow? And it just seemed a natural fit. And I like talking and I like helping people. I love networking.
Sure.
And I thought, you know what, let's invest. So I invested some time and resource into becoming a qualified mentor.
Right.
To make sure that, you know, if I'm going to offer that, then I know what I'm talking about and I've got proper structure. I find I love it. I tend to work with the smaller businesses, so I look at startups through to early stage.
Sure.
Because that's where I feel I can add more value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I've got real life experience. I've had businesses in the past, and I don't mind admitting. When was it? My first business was in 2002. I set up a coffee shop and wine bar from scratch.
All right. So, okay.
Yeah, I opened the doors on day one. I was 168 grand in debt. Because I bought the freehold at the same time. So, ouch. So, I opened the doors at 11. No bugger came in until about 1 o'clock. I was thinking, what have I done here?
Right.
Then started a contract cleaning company as well a few months after.
Yeah.
Coffee shop went great. I must, hands up, I screwed up completely the cleaning bit. But you learn.
Yeah, you do. And those experiences are probably the best type of learning you can have.
Yeah, and I believe that I take from those, the experience and the learning, and then that helps when I'm talking to people in a more real life situation. You know, I've not just read a textbook and saying, oh, this is how we do it. It's like, I've been there. Yeah. I've experienced some good. I've experienced some bad. And that seems to be well received. So that's a bit of mentoring and coaching. I've still got my finance operation. So we look at commercial finance. That can be anything from asset finance, vehicle leasing, cash flow finance, property development, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But my real, I've done that for 20 years.
Right.
I love the fitness side of it.
Yeah.
So that I'm actually taking my level 3 PT as well.
Yeah.
So I've become fully immersed in it, and then hopefully build the chain up. You know, that'd be nice to have a few little gyms under the belt.
Yeah. It's exciting doing something new and different, isn't it? As an entrepreneur, I guess you get your kicks learning stuff, learning how things happen and trying out new things.
I do. I absolutely love learning new stuff. I love trying stuff, and some things work, some things don't.
Yeah.
As you know, it can be very frustrating. You know, I did have a full head of hair a few months back. It's rapidly disappearing.
Right.
But the great thing is,
is
because I network, and I've networked quite a bit over the years, there are lots of people now that I can call on. The mistakes I learned from before was that I tried to do everything myself.
Right.
Here I am, I can do the accounts, I can do the marketing, I can do this, I can do that. Now, it's like, well, actually, I've got my accountant, leave that to him. I know somebody in marketing, they can do that. So, for other business people, I'd say use your network and don't try and do something that you can't do. Use your network and bring them in. And that way, you can then really, well, in my opinion, you can really crack on and hopefully build a really, really good business by using skills that other people have, and that kind of takes the pressure off me, because I think, well, actually, I don't need to worry about that because Joe's got it covered, or Kelly's got that covered. So,
great. Look, Mike, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. If people want to find out more about Dynamic Fitness and the things you do, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the website is, if I may, www.dynamic-fitness.co.uk. They can email in at info@dynamic-fitness.co.uk. We do have a Facebook group as well, which is simply Dynamic Fitness. So the more people we get to like that and join that page, the better. I think we've got about 350 people who follow that at the moment. So I'm looking to grow that, obviously. But yeah, those are probably the best ways. We haven't got a Twitter handle yet, which we're working on at the moment, though.
Okay. I found an old one for the gym, but I use that in some of the marketing, but it hasn't been accessed for a couple of years, unfortunately. We've got that as links on the radio website, and they'll stay on the radio website. So anybody that didn't get a chance to write them down, just look on the Kempisys radio website and the links are there. And you can go through and find out more about Dynamic Fitness. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you again soon, huh?
You will indeed. Thanks for your time, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Cheers.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back. That was fantastic. We heard from Mike Dyson there of Dynamic Fitness Gym, the ladies only gym in Canterbury.
You know I used to teach yoga there.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my probably about, I don't know, how old am I now? Probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Of a Monday night and sometimes a Wednesday night. He's not very active on Twitter. I think we need to give him a nudge.
Yeah, well, what it is, I found out, is that as you heard during the interview, he recently bought the gym in July.
Oh, okay.
And the Twitter handle is from the old owners who had kind of faded it out. So I've been tweeting it out, but of course not much has happened. He's got to get a new Twitter handle. But you can find them on Facebook, Dynamic Fitness. They're on Facebook.
It's very difficult, isn't it, when you take over a business and sometimes people have forgotten the passwords, they don't pass it on.
Yeah, exactly.
So he'll start. Nice little gym that, down there on the main road as you go into Canterbury.
Yeah.
And it had a really nice vibe. I used to teach there and body and mind at the Canterbury High School and at the castle in Whitstable, plus my house as well. Right. So, yeah, it was a nice little gym. Okay. I'll have to pop in and see him.
Yeah, I've got quite a few things to cover.
Get them off your chest, why not?
And we've got lots of things to chat about.
Yeah.
Are you a local company hoping to win work on the Lower Thames Crossing? We're running a local supplier briefing on the 26th of August to update you about the support we're putting in place. So if you run a business that think could supply services, products or help with the Lower Thames Crossing and you want to find out more about it, if you go to the following website, learn.supplychainschool.co.uk/local-TL action plans. Let me give you that link again. learn.supplychainschool.co.uk/local-TL action plans.
It's lovely when you're
sniffing your candle.
Oh, it's so nice. This is the lovely Sky Candle Company. Do check them out. Absolutely delicious. And their soaps, I bought loads of soaps because, of course, we're all hand washing, aren't we, Paul Andrews? Yep. And I've ditched the plastic in our house. So it's all soaps for us. But I bought a lovely heather and seaweed soap.
Did you?
From the Sky Candle Company. And this one, I'm just sniffing. It's very nice. It takes my mind off the way that my headphones are piercing my ears, sort of pinching. I had a tweet from Simple Advertising, and you'll find them on Simple Advert UK. They're a Kent-based SEO and digital marketing agency in Rochester, just near Tracy. So you'll find them on simpleadvertising.co.uk. And they do SEO and digital, so they must be UK-wide anyway. You don't have to be in Rochester to use them. That's what I say.
Good.
Right. The arms are folded. Do you want me to read something?
No, I'm going to read something.
All right, then. Then I can sniff my candle. Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking. It's a way off yet, but I thought I'd tell you about it. It's Wednesday, the 30th of September. 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., hosted by Peter Searle. It's a free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank, and everyone is welcome. It's taking place in Maidstone, as it's the Maidstone Virtual Networking, and you can sign up to it by going to www.fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone. That's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone.
Well, while we're all talking about events and things, here's something, listener, for your diary. It's manana, I believe. The next meeting of the Marsh Network Online is at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 19th of August. So that's manana, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's in the Zoom room. Booking is essential, they say. You can book now to reserve your place at... you can either get a free ticket or a charity donation ticket, and they'll send you the link to join nearer the time. So join them and give them some support and grow your contacts, network and your business. The website to book is www.marshnetwork.co.uk, or you can go through the Marsh Network app. They've got an app, Paul Andrews.
Wow.
And you can go to sign up on that as well. And you can get your own page and online business card to book events by going to marshnetwork.imobile.one. And that's from the lovely Terry Botfield. And you can find him on the Twitter at TBotty.
Fantastic. Thank you, TD Botty.
Yeah. So that's manana, Wednesday the 19th.
Okay.
You've still got time to do that.
Cool. So I've got quite a few more things to read out. You've got some things to read out.
I'm going to read mine now and get it over with, and I can sniff candles. So mine is locating in Kent teams. Locate in Kent teams up with top Kent universities to launch a business course. So Locate in Kent has today announced the launch of Business lab is. Sorry, I haven't got my glasses.
She hasn't got glasses on, listener.
I'm having to
squint. She can't read anything. She can't see it because her glasses aren't on.
It's very fine type. A series of bite. Think of the lines I'm going to get from squinting. Mm-hmm. Series of bite-sized leadership courses designed to help business owners, business leaders, and entrepreneurs to plan for their future in the post-lockdown economic landscape. So they say throughout summer of this year, the program of short courses will be delivered in a live virtual learning environment where participants will join academics from the University of KNC at Kent and Canterbury Christchurch University to learn about global business best practice, which is based on academic research in a collaborative and innovative space. Participants will be able to observe and test methods to shape the future of the organisation, of their organisation. And Business Lab will also help businesses to identify and maximise their future opportunities. Now, this could be through developing analytical tools to support business growth and performance, to reassessing their leadership styles and harnessing digital transformation. Now, for more information, go to locatingken.com with a /business-lab.
Fantastic. The Digital Skills Partnership from the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership, that's the LEP, has partnered with Course Era to provide free online learning resources to 10,000 users across the Southeast. There are more than 4,300 courses available to those facing redundancy, who are on furlough, or those looking to reskill to enter a new industry. The courses are free to sign up to until the end of September 2020, so that's the sign-up deadline, and the course must be completed by the end of December 2020. So you sign up for it by the end of September and complete the course by the end of December. If you want to find out more or register for your free training course, if you go to www.southeastlep.com/our-delivery/skills, that's www.southeastlep.com/our-delivery/skills.
A key piece of the jigsaw that will open up East Kent to investment and employment, that's £12 million, is hashtag Getting Building Fund. Support has been allocated by the Southeast TLEP to the Thanet Parkway Railway Station. This is interesting. So to find out more, you can go to www.southeastlep.com/our-delivery/getting-building-fund. What do you know about this, Paul Andrews?
Not a lot. They sent me the email this morning, so I haven't really had time to investigate.
Let's bone up on that, because that looks really interesting. And, you know, Thanet, as we know,
One assumes Thanet Parkway is a railway station.
Yeah.
And one assumes it's being put there for something to do with Manston.
Yeah. So Manston, you know, not a good time to be opening an airport with what's happening with COVID and transport.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do hope that we get some passenger ones, because at the moment it seems very heavy on cargo.
Yeah.
And I would really like to see some passenger flights there.
Yeah.
But my son has just gone to our little house in Moraira, Alicante, and he sent me a picture of Southend Airport, and it was absolutely empty.
Yeah.
Just in there.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, he'll have to quarantine when he comes back, but, you know, he booked it before, like you did.
Yeah.
And he's prepared to quarantine when he gets back with his lovely lady, Mimi.
Mm-hmm. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba official, Tabba, T-A-B-A underscore official on the Twitter. Hello, Bunker World. Our new essential management skills course in September. Follow us for details or DM us on the Twitter. There's an early bird, 20% off, which closes very soon. So do give Tracy Ann Barker a follow on Twitter, T-A-B-A underscore official, and DM if you want to find out more about her essential management skills course in September.
Hello, Tracy. And also Lavender Blue Media have tweeted us to say hello. They're on lavenderblue_UK. They're a media video content creations agency. They're previously guests on the Business Bunker, and they help public sector organisations and businesses to communicate with their target audiences online. You can find them lavenderbluemedia.com.
Fantastic. Did you, you had an email about Canterbury. Did you read that?
Confidence in Canterbury. It's my last one.
Oh, right.
Is it that about Nason's?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. So Confidence in Canterbury's future has seen plans submitted for the multi-million pound redevelopment of an important city centre site, including the former Nason's department store, which closed earlier in the summer, if you know Canterbury, along with Debenham. So it was a huge loss there for Canterbury. It sort of went in, the two department stores are gone. There is Fenwick's, of course, which is still there. Biggleston Yard, named after the historic family-based business that once operated on the site, is the new retail, commercial and housing-led regeneration scheme, which is proposed by the Setha Group, S-E-T-H-A, the London-based property development company. £30 million investment proposals submitted to Canterbury City Council include a covered retail arcade and market hall, as well as restaurants linked to new public squares and open space accessed from the high street. And the new buildings would incorporate the listed building at number 46 High Street, Canterbury, and other heritage buildings, including Foresters Hall. In addition to the new retail area, Biggleston Yard includes plans for office space alongside 32 serviced apartments, a further 33 residential units and community uses on the 0.38 hectare site, which has been vacant since September 2018. Gosh, time flies. To find out more, go to www.locatingkent.com, Biggleston Yard plans submitted. It will be on the Business Bunker after the show, I'm sure. You'll put it on, won't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but that's pretty amazing. The thing with serviced apartments is, I mean, my lovely neighbour's very elderly and they've got a lovely detached house on Tankerton Seafront, which they want to sell because it's too big for them. And they want to move into a flat, an apartment on Tankerton Seafront. When they looked into it, the house is, you know, over £1 million. But when they looked into it, it would have cost them more to live in an apartment because of the service charges.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Even though the apartment is cheaper to buy slightly. So they're staying in the big old house rattling around that they can't cope with. So these service charges can be pretty difficult, can't they, in apartments?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to watch out for that.
What do you think of this? So it is exciting. It seems like a very funky thing to do, doesn't it? Public squares. It's very hip. It's very now, you know, with a covered market hall area.
Yeah. Well, it's right next door to me, obviously.
Exactly.
It's right next door.
It'll be good for you then.
Yeah, eventually, but it's not due to open for 4 years.
And you don't want all the building work putting people off scaffolding.
Yeah, so we're going to have building work for the next 4 years. And then my lease expires, so we shall see. But it's good for Canterbury. Canterbury needs something.
It does.
You know, with the amount of stuff that's shut, Nason's itself, which shut quite a long time ago.
It was a huge loss. September of last year it shut. 2018, it says.
Yeah,
here.
And then Debenham shut recently opposite. Yeah. So
it was like a ghost town. The last time I went into Canterbury, it was shocking to see the boarded up shops and that. And, you know, if you're going to pay £6-7 for parking, and I like to chat to people. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. Talking about parking, a couple of weeks ago, I actually went back to Canterbury to do something and I couldn't park. Rosemary Lane car park, which is next to where I work.
Yeah, it's been behind.
Closed. Yeah, it's been closed.
Why has it been closed?
Because they're selling it.
They're going to build on it?
Yeah. So that's one less car park that you can't park in Canterbury.
That's very, very short-sighted.
Canterbury really hate people going there by the looks of it.
Uh-huh. Well, they push you for the park and ride, which I think has gone up now. But if as a woman who goes shopping, think of, you know, before Christmas, for example, you go and you do all your shopping in one afternoon. That's what I tend to do for the family. And then you've got about 85 bags. Then what I want to do is go back to the car park, shove them all in my boot, and then go and meet someone for a lunch or a cup of tea or a dinner or whatever, if it's 5 o'clock. But you can't do that on park and ride. You know, you can't put all your stuff in your boot. You've got to get back. And quite frankly, if you're paying £7 or £6 to park and all there is a couple of chains, then why would you?
Yeah, exactly. I've had a tweet from Active Business Group. Would you like to meet a supportive networking group? Join us at a breakfast, as a breakfast guest at Boughton Golf Club. You can find out all about it by going to activebusinessgroup.co.uk.
Boughton, now is that part of the Cave Hotel or have I got that wrong?
No, I think it is part of that. I think it is.
So
we're going to get Robert on soon to talk about
it. Yeah, well, he was going to come on. I was going to interview him recently for Scoff and Quaff, but he was just madly busy. Yeah. And then we spoke to Awa, didn't we?
Yeah.
From his old haunt, the Grand Hotel Folkestone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, but we will. They've got a hydrotherapy pool, actually, which would be very good for your knee and my knee.
Yep. I'm just going through the tweets to see what else we've got.
Remember, you can always tweet us before the show for a shout out. Use the hashtag #BeBunker and tweet at Vanilla Webb or Jules Serkin.
We'll absolutely. I want to tell you about this. Did you miss out on the free 30-day social media challenge? Due to high demand, ZC Social Media are running it again on the 7th of September. Increase your awareness, build your audience, and get results. This is an entirely free event encouraging you to use social media and to get involved with the social media challenge. It's a fantastic thing. The last two times it ran was absolutely brilliant. We did some stuff with them on the Business Bunker show, and it was manically busy and great, great fun. If you want to find out more, if you go to www.zcsocialmedia.com/30 day social media challenge. zcsocialmedia.com/30 day social media challenge. Do check that out. It's fantastic fun. ZC Social Media Challenge with the lovely Zoe Cairns.
They all seemed to have a really good time when they were doing that. Yeah. Didn't they? It was upbeat.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Loads of fun. They had a big Twitter chat in.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic fun.
And we felt the Twitter love on the bunker, which was nice.
We did indeed, yeah.
At Thyroid UK, as you know, I have a thyroid Hashimoto's.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no.
Autoimmune. Thyroiduk.org say, we have compiled a list of private doctors and practitioners who have a special interest in thyroid disease. And you can go to thyroiduk.org/help-support. This is true. There is a big list, but why should we have to pay? Is my bugbear. I've got a few midge bites as well that I brought back from Scotland. Yeah, they're not as bad as mosquito bites. They're not as itchy, but they're little red spots. But there were a couple of days where, you know, people had the whole midge thing on, like, so they had a hat with a net right the way down. Because midges are really bad there if you're...
Well, I've obviously got very tasty as I've gone into my OAP phase, because I never used to get bitten. But this time, if you look at the back of my legs, which you can't at the moment, they're absolutely smothered in bites. When I was in France, I got bitten and I had mosquito spray on and everything.
Did you eat garlic?
Yes.
That's supposed to be good to get rid of them.
Well, of course I ate garlic. I always eat garlic. I had garlic for breakfast, didn't I?
Mon Dieu. But also they do say that citrus oils, I was smothering myself in citrus oils from the lovely Susie Fish Tropic.
Were you?
Yeah.
Is that like the Jif squeezy?
Possibly, yeah. Citrus oil is
like,
a bit
like
a bit
what
more
you
pleasant.
Put on your pancakes.
Yeah, a bit more pleasant than that. I'm thinking about fried haggis now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, we got a bit longer to go on the show before you can go and have your dinner.
I'm really hungry.
You can check if you're eligible for the Coronavirus Small Business Grant Fund. There's been another tranche of money released. The Small Business Grant Fund, SBGF, supports small and rural businesses in England with their business costs during coronavirus. There's still more than £1 billion of grant money available for small businesses from local authorities across England. If you want to find out which ones have got the money, if you're eligible, and everything else around the fund, if you go to www.gov.uk/guidance/check if you're eligible. So that's www.gov.uk/guidance/check if you're eligible. Do check that out. There's money available. If your business is struggling, there's still grants available. If you're a small business or a rural business, have a look at that.
Yeah, I think it's very, very worrying times. Nobody wants to make people redundant. Nobody wants to lose their staff.
Yeah.
And then what do? You know, once you start to build your business, do you get the same staff back? Can you get them back? Horrible yeah. times. Very
yeah.
odd.
Yeah. Talking of that, do you wish you'd never started some projects? Peter Searle will be giving pointers on how to avoid the nightmare jobs on Thursday, this Thursday, the 20th of August, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. David Backus will also talk about how construction projects have suffered due to COVID-19. You can find more information and to book here. This is a construction-related workshop. You can find out and book your place by going to www.constructionexpouk.co.uk/Southeast Network. So that's www.constructionexpouk.co.uk/Southeast Network.
I've been followed by at First Flight NED, First Flight all written. NED, First Flight is Non-Executive Directors Limited, and they're the number one destination for chairs, non-executives and trustees. You can find them on 3Ws, First Flight Non-Exec, EXEC.com, and say hello to them and say you heard about them from Jules Serkin, Vanilla Web, Bee Bunker.
Fantastic. A snapshot of the county's economic recovery following the impact of the health crisis has been launched, providing a host of data on how businesses are responding to the challenges. The Economic Recovery Dashboard provides a range of indicators designed to support and drive Kent and Medway's recovery from COVID-19 and has now gone live on the Kent County Council website. So if you want to look at this dashboard, find out what's going on, see what people are doing, see how recovery is or isn't going in your area, both geographically and your area of business, if you go to the following website, www.kentgov.uk, about the council, /information and data. That's kent.gov.uk/about the council/information and data. And you can look at the economic recovery dashboard online.
Police were met with a frosty reception after picking up the penguin when they there was a penguin that was found in a village in Strelley in Nottinghamshire strolling around the village, and the police said when they questioned the bird, officers were told it had been winging it but decided to let this one slide. Puns are courtesy of BBC Radio 1, Greg James, listeners. But the little penguin was returned to a farm in the area after it had escaped. I do love an animal story, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. do you know what?
Is it time for a haggis?
I think it may be time for a haggis. We're fast approaching the end of the show. It's been quite hectic with lots of things going on.
It has been. I mean, you know, loads and loads of tweets.
Yeah. We're in difficult times at the moment because we're having to react to the various things that are going on. You know, unfortunately now I'm quarantined, so I wasn't allowed in the studio today.
Best place
for
you. So
we've had to do this remotely.
Yeah, I've always wanted to quarantine you, frankly.
Yeah, I deserve it probably. it's been a bit odd in terms of how we do things, but we're keeping going and keeping on and trying to keep you all informed about what's going on out there. And we love you guys for keeping us informed by tweeting us and emailing us and all the rest of that stuff to keep on track. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's guest, the lovely Natalie Whitcomb of Whitcomb HR, Mike Dyson of Dynamic Fitness, the ladies' gym in Canterbury. Thank you both so much for fantastic interviews. A huge thank you to my lovely Scottish co-host. the kilted, lilted and haggist Sirkin.
With the elbow.
Yeah, with a bruised elbow and a bump on her head. Have you recovered from that now?
Bump on the head, I'm not sure if my behaviour is quite up to scratch.
Yeah, but it wasn't before, let's be honest.
No, I think most of it is the fact that my new husband decided to see the whole of Scotland in 10 days.
In a campervan.
And then there was one campsite where the facilities were open because generally they were closed because of COVID. But because they closed down certain showers, so there were, you know, and the toilets, there was one and then one closed because of social distancing. I had to get up at 6:30 to beat the queues, which started about 8 a.m. And I'm not the type of woman to queue to go to the toilet or the shower.
This isn't your style, is it?
No, it's not my style. So I made myself wake up at 6:30 on holiday to be first in line for the toilet and the shower. Yeah. Lovely. And then I was knackered for the rest of the day.
Yeah, which drinking. Is why you fell over.
Yeah, probably. But I did buy lots. I made sure I bought a coffee every day to keep me going. And I've been back 2 days now. And oh, I tell you, my bed feels so. I've got a Vispring. It feels wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. Thank you all for joining in at the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. We'll be back again next week with another packed show, talking to some interesting guests from the world of business and bringing you up to date with everything that's happening in the world as it happens. We live in very interesting times. I hope you're all staying safe, all keeping well. And we'll be back with another show next week here on the Business Bunker Show. Mm. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
This is Channel 2, The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.